comfort to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patihara, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By a compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiampi tatiampi salaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. Or even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to release. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Settled, if you would please find someone you do not know and haven't spoken with yet on this retreat to partner up with. And what did you notice? Danny?
I have a familiar experience of doing it wrong.
Uh-huh. Says the voice.
Of course. Who else?
Right, exactly. Who else would even look to see? Right? Because in life, there's no such thing.
Right.
Yeah.
There's doing the exercise, having the experience of looking at what seemed, it seemed as if there was so much going on with attending to this and breathing in that and visualizing this, all while this, you know, recording is running at its own pace.
Uh-huh.
It seemed like there wasn't room for the experience to arise in in awareness. And so I work with that, which I was really grateful for. I would give it a try, have it not work, feel bad for a minute, say, all right, we're going to just, you know, rebound and try recording it more slowly, different things, and that's how it started.
You know, as you're talking, I'm just getting that image that we often use of a baby learning to walk, right? Or a toddler, I should say. And that, at least as far as we can project, there's no idea of I'm doing it wrong, right? There's no conversation about, like, gosh, again? I toppled over, and there's just that, you know, kind of getting up. And, you know, it's that place where, especially in a process like you're describing, we don't even know what's coming in to say, well, it's really not working. What does that even mean, right? But that willingness to just stay in the process and to work with that in itself is so big, because I'm guessing that's not an isolated thing. Right, that shows up, that process shows up for you in a lot of places in your life, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that rather than going into all the details of how it worked out, what I will say is that that process of sticking with it gave a lot of fuel for the recording about of appreciation for the practitioner.
Yes. Yes.
Because that was an example of...
Such a good example.
Yeah.
Just completely willing to stay in there, right? And I love that piece of, well, we won't go into the details of how it all worked out, but it did. And it always does. It always does. I think this just came up in last Sunday's group where we were talking about that little quote of, everything always works out in the end. If it hasn't worked out, it's not the end. Right? That's how we know we're still going.
And, you know, that's actually something I've been looking at a lot lately in the fear that comes before taking on a commitment or doing a task, and how it's like too big and I can't, blah, blah, blah. And when I look at it, it has always worked out. None of the dire scenarios have ever come to pass.
The only, quote, bad thing that happens is this. The conversation with the conscious mind. That's the only thing. Because if we go back to that image of the toddler learning to walk, every single toddler everywhere in the world has always ended up walking, unless there's something else going on, right? But some of them walk at 9 months, some a year and a half, some, I mean, and there's all kinds of things that can happen in there, but it always ends up in the walking.
And even if my best intentions didn't come to fruition, if there isn't somebody there comparing
and judging
the intention versus the outcome,
right? Because can you imagine how literally crippling, metaphor intended, that would be if at 9 months I had the ability to compare myself to my cousin who's already walking, right? And then it's like, wow, I mean, all right, I'll give it one more month, right? And now I'm still not walking, and it's like, well, forget it. I guess I'm just not a walker. I'm not the kind of person who walks, right? But without that comparison, I mean, I have no idea when I started to walk. Anyone else? I mean, unless your parents were really into that sort of family lore. I have no idea, right? And now we completely take it for granted. And so without that process of comparison and looking around at everyone else and how am I doing and how I don't, we would just do it. And it would just look however it looks. Yeah. And, you know, if we take it into current day and look at our practice of yoga, what we know is, and we can always learn more about walking. Right? So yes, we all learn how to walk, and now I realize, whoa, I'm really dragging my right foot, which is causing my hip to, and then my shoulder, and then my, and I can kind of relearn that, and there's always more to see.
Right. And there's that person across from me doing it.
Right.
And whatever.
Whatever.
I'm going to just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, focus here, right? Focus here with the one life that I have to save.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So go ahead. During the exercise, just I was struck by what a difference it makes to not take things personally, as just was referred to in that last conversation, and to just look at how life manifests unconditional love, generosity, abundance, and creativity. And I was looking through and just seeing all the times that, oh, how painful it is when I take all of those things personally and I try so hard to be unconditionally loving or creative I saw a curious thing. It was like life arranges flowers through me. And I, for some reason, it has never been taken personally. It's never.
It's just one of those gifts.
It's just one. And I can't. I look and I think most things are taken very personally. You know, there's a lot of efforting. And I was remembering we had a big Sangha gathering in the Bay Area, and I was pretty new. Dasankha, and somebody asked in the kitchen, does somebody know how to arrange flowers? Mm-hmm. And it was just there, yes. Well, I don't know, I would never, you know, if somebody had asked me any other thing, I would have been cowering in the corner, uh-huh. you know, to just make this arrangement that would go on the stage.
Everyone's going to
see, and they don't know me, and I'm not the kind of person that jumps up and says, yes,
I can do this.
I can do this.
Right.
And that's what arose in the how this life, you know, manifest, yeah. And I just saw in that, oh gosh, huh. that was one of those examples where it was absolutely not a personal
wow.
thing.
And so I think what you're pointing at is that's what allowed the hand to go up so uh-huh. quickly, and just because it's not mine.
It wasn't.
And so there's to be sort of that false humility. Well, I mean, I can kind of do it if you want me to give it a try. I mean, I'm sort of.
Right. Yeah.
Because it wasn't about you.
Yeah.
You weren't even volunteering you.
Yeah. Yeah, which is so curious because I know a lot about that false humility place.
Yeah.
But it just seems in this one particular area, that it just pops through that.
And, you know, I bet we can each go to kind of a place like that,
mm-hmm.
and that perhaps that's the gift of that little window that we each have to look yeah. into that place.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it is so hard to,
yeah.
but it does seem like, you know, I have to try hard, and mm-hmm. I'm really not good at this, and I'm okay at this, mm-hmm. and I'm, mm-hmm. But to have that, a gift like that, mm-hmm. where life arranges flowers mm-hmm. through you,
mm-hmm.
and then it doesn't feel like it's me. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not trying really hard to make it just right.
Right.
I'm not.
Right. I'm not studying it. I'm not mm-hmm. like, you know,
right.
comparing to other people or.
Right.
It's just. It's just really interesting. So it's good to have
yeah.
that process
yes.
to look at and to
yeah.
apply.
Yeah.
And, you know, in other areas.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, because we can guess that efforting, that trying to, is the very thing to just stop life from
mm-hmm.
doing all of it.
Doing all of it. I mean, yeah, and that's what I was looking at. It's like, wow, imagine everything coming from that place of,
right.
I'll do it, knowing that it's not I'm doing it.
Right.
You know?
And if we truly got that, boy, I mean, all of that fear and that anxiety and that efforting and all efforting could all just drop away.
Oh, and it's so much fun.
Yes.
I mean, it's so much fun. And just as you're saying that, I realized just to get in touch with, you know, when there's flowers arranged, I know that feeling, what that feels.
Mm.
It just feels so wonderful because mm-hmm. it's just so in alignment with life, and this, imagine having that wonderful feeling
yeah.
with absolutely every task at hand.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fences and chipping and chainsawing and
doing dishes and
dishes and
yeah.
lunches and
exactly.
snacks
exactly.
and breakfast and breakfast and snack and lunch and yeah. lunch and snack and breakfast.
So it was great to have the homework and to, you know, direct the attention to that and to just, I mean, because otherwise, you know, those opportunities to see things like that
yeah.
and to
right.
acknowledge
we never realize
human and all that just
yeah.
doesn't happen in the
yeah.
flow of, you know, next right. thing, next thing, next thing.
Right.
So
it's great. A little cut in the
yeah.
film reel of
yeah.
ego story,
yeah.
right? It's a little
yeah.
splice that
yeah.
stops us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you. Ren.
What was coming up for me in the conversations was sort of the process that always colors the start of retreat. That's like, okay, is the magic going to happen on this
mm-hmm.
retreat?
No pressure, but
no pressure, but you know, there's magic that's supposed to happen, and
and we'll see. But you can't make it happen. But
and every time there's the self hate of it's not going to work this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
and it'll mean something about you.
Right, because you're having aches and pains, and you're not enjoying this, and you're concerned about this task or that, and
all that you
yes
you're having aches and pains, and you're, and I just get this image of that poor human looking and going, oh, I am? Okay. Oh, it's not going well? Okay.
Right.
Never getting to look to our own experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the recordings yesterday from the assignments of going to that magical place and making these recordings about how the behaviors of the monastery and the way everything is done, it does just take me to that experience of, and the metaphor that was coming in yesterday, I know, was the movie Avatar, of feeling like, if only I had an actual tail that plugged me into things so I knew, like, mm-hmm. that I really was having that experience of, yes, that everything is caring for everything mm-hmm. else, and everything is communicating with everything mm-hmm. else. Mm-hmm. And so I was making those recordings, and then conditioning was right there with, like, thank God it worked this time.
Oh, yeah. You can just watch it perfectly setting up for the next time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
As long as it can plant that seed,
yes.
it can keep that fear,
right.
which essentially is what it is,
yeah.
going for the next time.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It worked this time.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so pernicious. Because that thank goodness makes us feel like it's on my side. Mm-hmm. Like it's me. Like it's me who wants to have it work. Mm-hmm. Right? But the thank goodness is really, you know, thank goodness we're keeping this in the conditional realm for it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I've heard, I can't remember where we, I think it was on a retreat sometime this year where someone was talking about something very similar to that. And having the experience of, you know, having a retreat where it was just a retreat. Just came, saw what I saw. You know, there wasn't any big, giant opening. And what a huge milestone that is in practice, that that's completely fine and good. And that's a perfect retreat.
Yes, I found myself this morning, when I saw it do that, like, thank goodness thing of going, like, that would be an experience to
exactly.
just be here.
Yeah. To yeah. just be here. Because that's how our lives are, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's the undulations mm-hmm. that Sherry's been talking about so much, right? Sometimes we see the big thing and all the heavens open and the insights are there, and other times it feels like, wait, what is practice? What am I doing? What's the, right? It just, it's
yeah.
everything. It's everything. And that place that I think you're pointing at, which is that possibility of disidentifying from the process of undulation, mm-hmm. and seeing that all of it is completely all right. Mm-hmm. All of it.
In the process of the conditioning that wants to take credit for
yeah.
what unfolded here,
yes.
that it really had nothing to do with. But,
right.
By saying that, thank goodness, is like,
exactly.
see, it worked, you know.
Yeah, see, oh, see what we did for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's back to what Sequoia was talking about, right? Really not taking any of it personally.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking any of it personally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Rob, and then Colin.
So the assignment we had last night was interesting for me in the sense that the retreat overall has been very nonlinear for me. Like, it was just a mishmash of stuff, you know? And, you know, and as you're saying, like, I'm getting the sense that that's probably good. That's, you know, it's okay. It's just a mishmash of stuff.
Yeah.
And some of it was good, some of it was great. There's nothing, they're not linear. You know, there's nothing really conditioned can get its brain around and say, this happened and then this happened. It was just like, what?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And, but anyway, so, and this relates to the recordings. My ego does not like
or
it.
Or ego, not your ego, right?
What? Yeah, ego.
Ego.
Ego,
mm-hmm.
right? Ego does not like it when I'm given like four different assignments
mm-hmm.
about four really important things, and I'm supposed to get myself into that space of where I'm experiencing whatever the concept is. I'm like, are you kidding me? Four? Like in one assignment? Like, I just, you know, ego just wants to rip up the paper and say, go up, get, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, well, yeah. that's extreme. But I mean, it doesn't like it.
But kind of.
Definitely doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And And yesterday I was like, at the last group we had, I was completely out to lunch. Mm-hmm. I think I've never been so, didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I heard some things, but it didn't seem like it heard anything. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so what do I do with that? I don't know what happened. I was like, well, I was thinking at the time so what was alluded to in guidance was about the concept between doing something and really wanting to do something. Because I was saying, I'm doing something, it doesn't seem to be happening. And Sherry was like, well, and I said, I guess I'll have to do it until it happens. And she says, well, maybe you'll do it until you want to do it. Uh-huh. And I thought that was, I've heard that before, but this had more meaning for me. Uh-huh. And so I was like, okay, let's not back down. Let's just do these assignments. I know I don't have to do them. Right. No one's going to beat me with a stick if I don't do them.
No one's even going to check. Let me see your recorder, Rob. Bring it.
I don't want to.
You missed the third chakra. That one didn't get on there.
Yeah, right. I did the best I could. And, it reminded me, in retrospect, I think, that's all there ever is.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the best I can.
Yeah.
And then sitting here, I'm realizing it's like, again, I'm getting back to the this is the non-linear part. It's, so conditioning wants there to be a story, wants there to be meaning, wants it to all be connected. Uh-huh. But it seems to me that life is bigger, so much bigger than that.
That's right.
And conditioning can't get its brain around it.
No.
And so,
especially since it doesn't have one.
right. And it's sort of like, this is an aware, so doing those exercises is, it's like when you work at McDonald's, it doesn't matter what job you're doing, you're always soaking up the french fry grease. Right?
Okay.
That's a good analogy, but it's like, I'm doing these exercises to soak up the spiritual grease. I love french fries, so why would I look the thing that makes them? And
that's the beautiful thing about Buddhism. We use what speaks to us.
right. But, it's like I'm coming here for like a spiritual massage. Uh-huh. It's not any one thing. It's just you get yourself in the environment, you do the exercises, because life is bigger than conditioning.
Yeah. And because the process is the point.
Right.
Not the outcome.
Right.
Right? And so, exactly so. That how is it going to get taken away from us? Well, because ego is going to, just like everyone's talking about, it's going to overlay something on top of it. In this case, it's going to overlay, okay, we need to go from here, and then there, and then there, and then there. And of course, it isn't going to happen that way. In fact, when it doesn't happen that way, what it wants to do is rip up the paper and leave, right? It wants to throw its little temper tantrum because this is not working for me. I'm not able to overlay myself onto this process. And of course, with everything we do, that's the entire point. Mm-hmm. So whatever happens for us in the assignment, that's the ultimate thing that we're there to see. The chakras, that's lovely. what we record and the ha-ha and the celebration and that's great. The process that happens as we're doing it, that's the main thing we're seeing.
That's like the exercise.
That's the exercise.
And I don't even have to understand any of it when it's done.
Nope.
I mean, that's really hard, and it's easy right now, but that's normally would be really hard for me to say, because conditioning would say, what do you mean you don't even have to understand why you did it?
So what's the point of doing it?
So insulting to conditioning,
Yes. Well, and so it's hard to say that when you're identified with
it.
It's easy to say it now because you're not identified with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as simple as that, not easy, but it is as simple as that, which that's that place that Sherry's always talking about where then we can use it to our advantage. So when we're in that place of like, I just want to rip up the stupid paper and what's the point? I don't get it. I mean, what do you mean? I'm not so, okay, got it. I'm identified with that. Not a problem. It's just what's going on. And that place earlier, Rob, where you were saying it seems so important for us to get it. That the only, quote, reason that we're doing any of this is for this person, right? So those assignments that are put up on the board, it's not to prove to whoever that I can do it. it's not, you know, to please conditioning. It's for me, right? So what I put into it is what I get out of it. So that willingness to, yes, ego throws his temper tantrum, and I stay with it, just like Danny was describing. That's for this person. That's for the love of this person, for that sincere practitioner who came here because he sees a possibility. And that willingness to stay with him through it, through however it goes, whatever we see.
Yes. And my experience, my experience in this retreat is, it's very subtle, but I can see conditioning can't, it can't quite get in there as easy as it used to.
Yes.
It can't quite
yes.
turn it into some meaningful thing.
Yes. Yeah. It can say everything it's always said. It can try everything it's always tried, and it does. But it can't get in there in the same way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
It's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Colin and then Sarah.
Oh, yeah. It was on the final one about the color green. Mm-hmm. And yes, as I'm, and being here and receiving the gift of practice at the monastery, I've been very, very grateful for that. But when I was looking, I was realizing I've spent quite a lot of the week conditioning has been talking about what obstacles there are for me coming to the monastery, and that in the future I need to resolve these problems, and when they're all resolved,
I'll wouldn't it be great monastery. If I could get to the monastery?
Well, exactly. and it really tells me I'm actually here.
Yeah.
And experience of not being here.
Yes,
and
I'm
wanting to be here.
It's classic.
And,
the one we often use for that, Colin, is that, you know, so I go out for a jog and I'm jogging. It's like, you know, I should really jog more often. I mean, I should jog, right? But wait a minute, I'm jogging, right? I mean, and to get it, that the point of that conversation is to keep me from jogging.
Yeah, but the thing is, so having an experience of being separate from life, having an experience of separation, mm-hmm. Which isn't real, really, and seeing sort of how cruel that is in so many different ways.
So cool.
Obviously with jogging, but. So I've had been having, you know, with fantastic food, but actually having experience that's not what I'm.
Uh-huh.
And
while you're eating the food, something else is going on.
Well, when I go home, I should make sure I do have proper meals. So I'm not having.
Yeah.
And
we're all relating.
And I'm participating in Sangha, but, you know, because that's not what I'm doing. And
the time difference is so big. I mean,
showing up for practice, but you know, but I'm conditioning saying I'm not. So anyway, but just a sort of a general thing that condition that I am actually having the experience. I'm
yes.
having the life I'm having, and
yes.
I'm going to have the life I have.
Yes.
But conditioning is always telling me that it's not the life that I should have.
Yes.
It's all there for me,
yes.
and seeing that. But that yeah. I'm being talked to, it's been really. So.
And so, are you? Does that leave you in a place of feeling wildly successful?
Wildly grateful, I think.
Wildly grateful.
Yes.
And the reason... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's just the gratitude that I have at least seen that, and I'm sure I'll
yes.
go back into identification and all that,
yeah.
but at least I've seen that. It's that thing of being separate from life when I'm not.
Yeah.
But coming back
yeah.
to life, really,
yeah.
having that experience.
You know, the reason I ask is exactly the conversation we were just having with Rob. Because I think what often happens to us is we have a realization like that towards the end of an experience, and part of the reason we're allowed to have that realization towards the end of the experience is that it's so easy then for self-hate to take that, right? Well, would have been nice if you'd seen that on the first day, right? Because then you would have actually been able to eat your food and your... But the whole point is to see that. That's the entire point. That is it. And so seeing that is such a huge success. That's everything. That is the retreat. So there's no sort of, well, at least I've seen it, you know. I mean, yeah, okay, maybe the whole thing was a wash, but at least, right? That's how it would like to frame it. But the reality is, having seen that, we can only see it through all of the steps that you're talking about. Do you know? There's no shortcut to it.
It's like until I get there, I didn't know that was where I was heading for.
Yeah.
That's sort of fumbling about. Then getting there. But it's absolutely priceless thing because
yeah.
I'm seeing that. Well, every time I receive something,
yes.
I'm not able to receive it.
Right.
So it kind of opens the doors to receiving.
To receive it.
To
exactly.
receiving what life, whatever life will or yes. will not give me. You know?
Yeah, and you know, it's such a, you know, it's that place where Sherry will say, nanner, 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 right? Because in seeing that, you just received the entire retreat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So yes. When the voice comes in and says, I mean, but most of the retreat, you're blah, blah, blah. Nope, I just received the entire retreat in that moment. It goes to that one of my favorite ones of she who experiences her inherent enlightenment in the morning doesn't mind dying in the afternoon. Because in that moment, when we're here, when we see it, we've received everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. There is nothing that was wasted. There's nothing that isn't part of it.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big thing that doesn't want us to take that in.
Well, it's huge though, isn't it? Really,
it's huge.
And it's like, but yeah. So thank goodness I can. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sarah,
it was such a lovely conversation. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of what happened to me when I was doing exercise last night. I, as I listened to the three parts, I felt the greatest sensation was I'm breathing out. This because it felt like I was letting go of a break that had been blocking what the incoming thing. So it wasn't that I needed to breathe in a lot. It was there, but the thing that I was breathing out was holding it back. And it just felt like this great release, and I could just experience it, that it had been there all along.
That it had been there all along.
Always there. All the love, the abundance, everything, the generosity, everything. And that's the feeling I have at the monastery, is that you get reacquainted with the love that fills your heart.
Yeah, it is very much like that love conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that's why we talk about practice is really a process of stripping away what's overlaid on top of. And then what we discover is that joy, that peace, that whatever word you want to use there, has always been there.
Right.
Yeah.
In great abundance. So I wanted to talk about something from a previous group. Would that be okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's not part of the exercise, but it had to do with shame. And I know Sherry said that a lot of people were experiencing it. And I saw something about it that was really exciting when I had the dish station assignment.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first time I'd ever done it. And I had, you know, been given guidance about how to do it. And, you know, for a change, I actually heard everything that was said.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, this is how to do it. And then, lo and behold, when I was doing the assignment, I was not, you know, and I had, there were three or four times when the guide to step back and give me the same instruction again.
Mm-hmm.
And this maybe happened four times, and two of the times I felt shame, and one time I felt self-hatred. And the self-hatred had to do with dish towels, which I love, because you can get to self-hatred through dish towels.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
But, so I was looking at it after about what is it, why was it shame in those instances and self-hate in these? And the shame ones, what I realized was in both cases, there had been an awareness to do the thing that needed to be done, but a conversation followed it. Well, no, that you know, like it was just really a simple, very clear, simple, like the way awareness is for me, very simple, clear. There's just nothing, you know, it's never very long, it's just the water needs to be changed, you know. There's more soap necessary. And then the conversation started, well, it really hasn't been enough time, you're going to waste water, you're going to, like, back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. And then until someone else came in from the outside, and it would be easy to think it's this outside person creating the shame.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But it wasn't. It was. This is what just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I realized this is ego shame.
Yes.
Because ego just got showed up.
Yeah.
Awareness knew exactly what to do.
Yes.
It knew when to do it at exactly the right moment, and it with effortlessly.
Yes.
And ego was like doing all. It, like, when I thought about it later, I was like, this is like ego for me is like a clown. mm-hmm. you know, that had like failed out of clown college, like a bad clown. Like yeah. he just like just doing stupid things, making me do like, these like ridiculous, you know, like it's just not.
But luckily, most of us aren't paying any attention, so pretty skillful,
right? And it was like it really I could sense it really is a shame.
Yeah.
Like that's genuine. This is a real feeling. It really feels like it's looking at awareness and seeing how inadequate it is mm-hmm. compared to awareness. Mm-hmm. And I just felt in that moment like, you know what? It was bad enough that I had to go through that whole thing. Like, I'm not hearing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. And, you know, I just, there's so many nuances to look at there that it would be fun sometime to talk to Sherry about it. But certainly what we can know is that it's not my shame.
No, it was just...
And that we're being set up. I mean, you clearly were paying super close attention because to be able to see the nuances of those steps, and I mean, that will change a person's life, will absolutely change a person's life. To be able to hear the life, and as you say, the life message is very subtle. Well, more so, more, you know, it's just going to be some quiet thing. It doesn't insist, it doesn't pound. It's not saying you, it's not accusatory, it's just information, right? And then usually we're not there for it. Or the conversation starts. And that is a lot of conversation, right? The first message is usually very simple, not a lot of talking. The second one is a whole campaign, isn't it? Well, I mean, but what? There's too much water, and you're wasted, and probably it hasn't been enough time, and then there's the human just... And you're being set up. And you're being set up for that moment where someone makes gesho and hands you a note, and now you're supposed to feel that hideous shame. And to be able to see, nope, not going there, not doing that, because I absolutely had that information, and now I know. And when we tune into that, we can live our whole lives tuned into that information.
Right. It made me want to just look at all the things where I felt shame in my life and say, where was the awareness that preceded that?
Yes.
The awareness that I didn't listen to it. I mean, I heard it, but didn't hear it,
yep.
you know? And
yep.
the one with self-hate, though, was, it was, I didn't hear anything at all. So somebody came along and said this, and I remembered, oh yeah, I had been told to do that and had no recollection. And I just wondered in that instance, and maybe it's a question for Sherry, is self-hate also ego's hate of itself?
Uh-huh. Boy, that is a little bit beyond the scope of the morning. But yeah, really interesting place to look, isn't it? I mean, I think, you know, if we were to just look at the critical sort of largest point that I think you're making, it's that place that we've been talking about so much in practice in the last, especially 6 months, year, but last few years, of getting it that it's not me. Self-hate's not me, the conversation's not me, even the, you know, oh, look at these beautiful flowers that I did. None of it's me, right? All of it, there's that possibility of not taking any of it personally, which really just leaves us in that place of being an instrument of life, right? I mean, it's an amazing way to live. Soap in the water, okay. And you go without any conversation, you just stand up, go get the soap, put it in the water, right? To me, it's that place that Sherry talks about. If you wake up in the morning, I'm available, life. And to live moment by moment by moment, one's entire day, life, in that place of just being an instrument of what now? Now. Thank you. Rebecca.
Wow. I am just so filled with gratitude for this Sangha, for mm-hmm. Sangha. Mm-hmm. And what's striking me is the, and doing the exercise yesterday too, it dropped in how magnificent it is that people show up here and take whatever assignment is given them. They go wherever their name says to go on the little board.
Such a good point, yeah.
You know, and all the while, with whatever level of understanding we have, that what I'm really doing here mm-hmm. is waking up and ending suffering. Mm-hmm. And I can do that through screwing a fence together, putting a fence together, or through chopping lettuce, you know,
Or cleaning toilets.
Day in and day out.
Or sweeping porches.
Or cleaning a window.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And what I received in doing the exercise last night around just kind of getting a glimpse of that mm-hmm. was how crucial this, I don't know if crucial is the right word, but just how that's what we're doing. That's what we're offering the world.
Yeah.
You know, so there are just a zillion things we could do with our lives in the mm-hmm. world, right? Mm-hmm. And we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And what an offering.
Yeah. Yeah. Precious is the word that's coming up as you're describing it. Yeah.
And so valuable.
And so valuable.
To the world as far as I can see. I mean, I don't know. Right. I'm such an amateur on spiritual things and the universe and all of that, but what it seems to me is that the world needs what we're doing, mm. and the fact that we're doing it in this form, mm. together with all these wonderful people, mm-hmm. just kind of leveled me into a mm-hmm. puddle of gratitude. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
such a rare gift that there are people who want to do this yeah. with their time, their energy, their one precious life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and because it was in the context of the expressions of gratitude to the practitioner showing mm-hmm. up, mm-hmm. because what a particular form of suffering that I can get lured into is thinking there's something else I should be doing with this life.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. yeah.
And a quote that I don't know who to attribute it to, but I've heard it in this practice, which was, I might have lived this life, I might have had this life, but I'm having this one instead.
Yes.
It always makes me feel so yes. comforted.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I might have done all that.
Or that, or that, or yeah. that, or that, or
whatever that, or ego's that, presenting that. At the moment yeah. that I should be doing. But I'm having this one instead. Yes.
So, what an amazing practice to receive this one. It's what Colin was talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And to catch it, you know, you use the word classic when and it is so classic. Mm-hmm. And to, you know, I just went right back when he was telling that, I went right back to my first example of seeing that mm-hmm. big thing of mm-hmm. ego just laying out exactly the life I have, telling me I should have that life. I mean, it's just
such. Great.
Oh yeah, it was building the life after I leave the monastery with the exact same elements of the life I have here at the monastery.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I was like, well, when we, I want to keep coaching. I keep want to eat healthy. And I'm like.
Fresh organic food,
yes.
you know, live in community.
Exactly. I was thinking all of that as I was pushing
a
wheelbarrow. And I want to be sure I'm working in the garden, you know, and I'm pushing a wheelbarrow of dirt to the compost. You know,
and I stay physically fit because life
was
requiring me of
that. I'm going to sit about 3 times a day. And I just laughed out loud, like, wait a second, I think that's the life I should have right now. But it is so classic, and, yeah. and that whole yeah. thing. So anyway, I am so struck by the generosity and of people to do this with.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing, no yeah. matter what the task looks
yeah.
like. And,
right.
You know, yeah, we can have all of our little opinions about, oh, I wish I could have gotten that. But that's all it.
That's all it. And that's the reason we're here, isn't it?
Yes.
So, okay, good. Good, that got triggered.
Exactly.
That's great, because that gets triggered.
Yep. And that's
so
what
I want to see it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing, ultimately, yeah. is we're seeing it.
Yeah. And it is so rare that a place is set up for that, right? So, you know, it would be more like, okay, who wants to do the fence? Who wants to be in the kitchen? Who
yeah.
wants to, right? And then we all migrate to what I want
and what my skills
what I'm
are,
good at.
Right?
Exactly. Right.
And here it's almost just the opposite.
Exactly.
Oh, they see themselves as a real carpenter. Let's put them in the kitchen. Yeah.
It's the, which book is it in? With the chainsaw holding the girl with a ponytail?
Yeah.
This chainsaw, I can't remember.
The
what.
Brush woman here again. Yeah.
Take the arc. Check to make them the cook, and then you take the.
Because it's because exactly. it's because it all ties back to what we're really doing here is ending mm-hmm. suffering,
yeah.
stirring. It's like what you've been
yeah.
been kind of nailing every single conversation
yeah.
is, and that's what we're here for:
yeah.
to see that,
yeah.
to see that.
Yeah.
And that's the whole retreat.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the beauty of having the sincerity of a practice that allows us to see that, realize we want to see that, be willing to go beyond it, and then receive what we, wherever we are, receive the, we heard that earlier in the week, chopping the tomatoes, even when the voices say, I want to be out building the hama.
Yeah.
We get to receive what's actually here. And that, I project, is what we ultimately all want,
yes.
is to be able to receive what is, instead of constantly trying to chase what I want.
Yeah.
It's just misery.
Yeah, because in that way, what we're offering ourselves in the world is ending this person's suffering.
Right.
So we don't get left out of the offering. It's an integral part
exactly.
of what we're offering.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phil?
Just short. What I remembered that I had from this conversation that I had seen at the one with the practitioner is that what we're describing, it feels like to me, is kind of what I was seeing, is that we can take, I can take the, what would it be called, the spirit of what I'm, of this conversation, what we're doing here, what we've done here all week,
mm-hmm.
and use it in the life I have anywhere.
Yes.
So I'm practicing, we're all practitioners, so we're practicing with the life we have.
Yes.
In the exact same way we're practicing here. So we don't, it's not
so
here and then over there. And
okay.
I have to go
okay,
back
now
here.
I'm on retreat and I can practice receiving what is, and but then I go back to my life.
Yeah.
Where I'm making the choices.
Right.
And some of them are good choices, but some of them are bad choices. And I need to make more better choices so that I can have more of what I want. And
if we're attuned, we're not making our own choices in a sense. We're choosing, yes,
that's right.
But we're choosing what life
yeah.
is calling
flowers
us.
Flowers are arranging
next,
through us.
Yes, yeah. next to do. And it's, yes, yeah, so it just doesn't mean we don't want to come back here all the time, which
mm-hmm.
we might, and do as much as we can, because that's what gives us the realization that I'm living my life out there the same way as
yep.
I'm living it here. If when I'm in that mind of practice,
yeah, yep. It would be like thinking, you know, I'm at the gym and I'm getting nice and strong so that I can go out and live my life, right?
Yes.
And then, well, I don't need to go to the gym.
Right, exactly, that's it.
Now I'm strong.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Exactly, and the same thing would happen.
Well, and also the same thing, which I think, at least in our culture, a lot of people do, right? I go to the gym, there, now I'm done. I don't need to be strong.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole point is that now I can be strong in everything, back to the walking.
Exactly.
Now I can walk with that strength. Now I can, you know, it's like, as you know, in Africa, you know, they think it's so funny that someone would go jog. What are you doing? Right? I mean,
right.
My whole life is exercise, right? I'm carrying water, I'm chopping wood, I'm
right, yeah.
doing whatever I'm doing. I mean, unfortunately, it's less and less so, of course, there as with everywhere else. But, you know, just like a life here at the monastery, that is the physical, that is life, is that.
Yeah.
Training for everything, physical, emotional, spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are very lucky people.
We are very lucky people. Yeah. Thank you. So before we end this morning, I have a message to relay from Sherry, which she so wishes she could be here to deliver herself, but wanting to thank each of you for your incredible hard work and your effort and your sincerity. And how much she appreciates how each of you showed up this week for practice and for the monastery. And so she has a practice that she would ask us to do, that each time you wear your good person hat or look at it, to use it as a chance to acknowledge what a good person you are, and to receive her thanks for the good person who showed up this week. How many folks do not have a good person hat? So every time you wear it or look at it, to acknowledge what a really good person you are and to receive her thanks.
Thank you.